Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. In the spring of 1974, I was finishing the seventh grade. A twister, or tornado, left me with an experience I will never forget. Just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, there was plenty of warning that this thing was coming. The winds picked up, and I watched from our front porch as the sky turned black. The wind stopped, and everything was perfectly still. Then the sound of a freight train driving through our house set my family running inside as we raced to the center of our house, where our living room met our dining room. And then just as quickly as it started, it was over. No damage to our house or the church next door. We learned a little later in the evening that the twister had hit a barn about a half a mile away from our house. The barn was full of horses, and when the tornado had gone, so had the barn, and so had all of the horses. To this day, I don't know if any of those horses were ever found. A book titled Blame It on the Weather tells about some extraordinary events that occurred in tornadoes, especially with regard to animals. It tells about a tornado that churned through a dog boarding kennel in Michigan. Later, one of the dogs in that kennel was found high in a tree half a mile away, unhappy, no doubt, but unharmed. Another story about a tornado tore all the shingles off one side of a school, then raced across the road and took the roof off of a barn in which there was a cow. The cow was found lying on her back, four legs in the air, anchored to the ground by her horns. The cow was otherwise unhurt, but the story went on to say that the farmer chose not to milk her. He thought that the milk might be sour after such a traumatic event. Anyone who's ever been through a tornado or a hurricane or a twister will tell you how powerful wind can be. So based on my own experience, I think I can understand the shock and certainly the terror, or at least the surprise, that the apostles must have felt on Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, says the writer of Acts, all the disciples of Jesus were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Then something else happened, even more startling. Those gathered saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of those who were gathered in the room. Then to top it all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. One lesson we can learn from the events on the day of Pentecost is that when the wind of God blows, amazing things happen. The Greek word for spirit is also the word for wind, as it is in Hebrew. That, of course, is no accident. God breathed into mankind his own breath. He gave mankind of his own spirit, thus the relationship of wind and spirit. Wind, like the Spirit, is not only powerful, but it is also mysterious. It is invisible, but we can see the trees rustle as it passes by. It can be as soothing as a gentle breeze on a warm summer night, or it can come with the destructive force of a tornado or twister. As we called them in Indiana when I was growing up, twisters meant trouble. Sometimes the wind seems to have a mind of its own. Jesus said on one occasion, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. This particular time, it blew upon a group of individuals waiting in a room in Jerusalem, just as their Lord had instructed them to do. He told them to wait until the Spirit came upon them, and that is what they did. Then on the day of Pentecost, just as he promised, the wind blew the tongues of fire appeared. After that amazing thing happened, these simple Galileans began to testify in such a way that everyone, regardless of where they came from, could understand them in their own language. Scholars tell us that there would have been more than a dozen different languages or dialects spoken or heard on that day. It would be nice if such things could happen today. Who can deny that the contemporary church lacks power, life, and energy, even excitement? We don't want to hide under our pews for fear of an approaching tornado of spirit, but it would be nice if people weren't already measuring us for a casket. For that is what is being said about many churches, that we are dying. The church today needs the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we can all agree on that. But what would that mean? Would we have a new sense of excitement if the Spirit came upon us? I would surely hope so. That certainly happened to the church on the day of Pentecost. Before Pentecost, the followers of Jesus had been a group of very nervous people hiding behind locked doors, fearful that they would be persecuted. And the church at Pentecost had good reason to be afraid. They were threatened by both religious and the secular authorities. But look what happened. On this day, the followers of Jesus came out from behind their closed doors so forcefully to testify to their faith in Jesus that more than 3,000 bystanders were converted right there and then. That's quite a transformation. On that day, the church had a sense of excitement, and it was contagious. It would be wonderful if that could happen to our church today. Maybe the Holy Spirit would increase our sense of love for one another. Listen again of the description of the church on the day of Pentecost. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together, and were glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did you catch that? They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The coming of the Spirit not only excited and empowered them, it also brought them closer together. If the Holy Spirit came upon us, one result would be that we'd be increasing our love not only for one another, but also for the community outside of our church walls and for God. Then perhaps we could reclaim the joy that characterized the church at Pentecost. There's a story I came across about a man from Louisville, Kentucky, who had traveled to St. Louis on business. This meant that he would have to spend the weekend away from home. So on Sunday morning, he left his hotel looking for a place to worship. The streets were quite deserted, but finally he saw a policeman and asked him for directions to the nearest church. After he got directions, the stranger thanked the policeman for the information and began to walk away when he turned and asked the policeman, "Why did you recommend that particular church? There must be several churches nearby that you could have recommended." The policeman smiled and replied, "I'm not a church man myself, but the people who come out of that church are the happiest looking church people in all of St. Louis. I thought that might be the kind of church you would like to attend." What a testimony. Those happy Christians were making the reality of God's presence in their midst, sharing that happiness with everyone they met. That kind of happiness is only present in churches where people feel close to one another and to God. Those are two things that would surely happen to us if the Holy Spirit fell on our current congregation. We would have a new sense of excitement, and we would be enabled to care more about each other. But I suspect a third thing would happen. We would be empowered to do what we already know that God has called us to do. The truth of the matter is that we already know what God expects of the church. We are to find people who are hurting, and we are to love them. If we did that one thing, our church would never decline. It's really simple. But where do we get the motivation and the power to do what God has called us to do? Well, the church at Pentecost set the pattern for us. Pentecost is about getting out from behind our closed doors and going into the streets to meet people where they are. Of course, in the midst of our current shelter-in-place pandemic mode of living out our faith, this means we need to think out of the box, to do things a little differently. It means that we need to reflect God's love to others using our cell phones, or our landlines, or our computers, or the good old U.S. Postal Service. That's what Pentecost is really about. It's about creating our own kind of tornado, a twister of love, in which we share again and again with others the same love that God has shared with us. That is Pentecost. Amen.